Hi, this is Kit Birmingham, and I am here with Greg Colosi, who just finished his third book, How to Get Route Customers Without Knocking on Doors. And we're going to be interviewing him, asking him about his thought processes, what prompted him to decide to become an author of not just one book, but now three books. And so, Greg, why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get into the interview questions.
Okay, Kit, thank you. My name is Greg Colosi. I live in a suburb of Rochester, New York, Pittsford. I am sitting in my office, which is a separate building on my property. It used to be a pool house, Kit. There's no pool here, but we bought an older home. And this winter gutted it to put in knotty pine. Got a desk. I got a 55-inch TV. I'm putting in a stove, and a gas stove, and a sink, and a refrigerator. And there's a bathroom here. There's a shower here. So it's kind of my little. I've always dreamed of having this. And believe it or not, some of the proceeds from my latest book allowed me to do this. Not the publishing rights, but what business I generated because of it. Now, I mean, not the publishing royalties. Although, you know, I just got a check from or a deposit in my account from Amazon about a week or so ago, which is very exciting. So that's kind of me. That's kind of where I'm at. I'm in the I'm a dry cleaner. I also teach dry cleaners. How to get route customers. You just mentioned that last title of my book, which is, you know, how to get route customers for your dry cleaning business. And so I just wrote a book about that. There's not a huge market for it, but in my little market, you know, I'm the kingpin.
So you're talking more about niche marketing and the fact that you wrote a book that wasn't necessarily something one of the big six publishers might have been interested in, and yet you perceived a need and just went for it because you had people who probably could benefit from a book that you published yourself. Is that correct, Greg?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I self-published it, and we can talk later on about how I did that, but I self-published it. Very inexpensively, okay? Today with the Internet, anybody can be an author. It just takes taking a project and following through and getting it done. And once I did my first book, which was only in December, now I got three of them, and it's now May 10th. So since the beginning of December to May 10th, I've got three books. Once you get your first one done, it's not that, you know, you realize it's not that big of a deal. Just go get them done. And I've got a goal for a fourth book being done by September 1st, which is my birthday. So I've got, you know, 3-4 months to get that done. I haven't even started it yet. And about probably 2 months before the deadline that I set for myself, and I'll tell you how I did that later on, but I got another book coming out in September. And I can say that with confidence because I know the process.
You understand the process. Well, let's go ahead and talk about this, you know, this being your third book that you've authored, Greg. How did the first two books, both Quote Lessons and Bag Drop Manifesto, come about? How did you decide you wanted to become an author?
Well, you know, everybody wants to be an author, okay? you know, that's on probably 99% of people's list is to become a published author. You know, and some people think, well, you gotta have Random House or one of those to do it to be an author, and that is so far from the truth. Some of the most famous authors of today started out self-publishing their book, and they just kept writing books. The most important thing you can do if you want to be an author is just keep writing and turn them into books. I know of an author that has over 50 books. And it was like his 40th book that started to get popular. Now everybody wants his previous books because his other books are so good. But the most important thing for an author, a wannabe author, is just to start writing. So my first couple of books, the first book was on on quotes. Now, when my daughter went to college, she's 28 now, so back when she was 18, she went to college, and I wanted to stay, I wanted to be a positive influence, even though I wasn't there every day. So here's what I decided to do. I took a quote. I've been saving quotes for 30-plus years. I believe that a quote, a positive quote, like from W. Clement Stone, what the mind of man can conceive and believe, it can achieve. And it means ladies also, Kit.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate that.
Those quotes, some quotes say more in a couple of sentences than you would get from reading a whole book. So that intrigued me. And I had these quotes, and I've been a business owner for about 30 years, and when things would get tough, I would read these, and it would give me strength. So I thought, why don't I take a quote and then write out a lesson for my daughter? So I'd write out like a 300-word-plus lesson for my daughter. And most of the time, I had no idea what I was going to write, but I just got in front of my computer, and I just started. You know, sometimes I just wrote a bunch of gibberish, and then eventually the good stuff came out. And now, since I've done over 350 of those, I call them quote lessons, a quote with a lesson. It's very, you know, I can zip those out in about 20 minutes, where the first one took me, you know, 2 or 3 hours to do that. But once you write and you keep writing, you know, you're able to zip these things out pretty quickly. I personally do it on a computer, but I know some authors that, you know, write it out longhand, or they speak into a tape recorder and they do it that way. So whatever your style is, I'm more creative with a computer. You might be more creative with writing it out or talking into, you know, a recorder. So I did that for my daughter. It's an interesting story. That I did that for my daughter, and I also sent her money every week, so it was a good excuse to put it in the mail and get it to her. And I was committed to go 4 years of college every single week, even if she didn't respond, and say, Dad, I've been getting these. They're great. Well, it went 11 weeks, and there was nothing. I can't tell you how difficult it was not to call her or when we talked to say something about it. But I committed that she was going to say it first. And so we're at Thanksgiving way back when, and I hear my daughter talking to my niece, her cousin, that my dad sends her these quote lessons. And when they come in, she reads them to her dorm mates. They come in on Thursdays. Everybody knows they come in on Thursdays. And they all gather around, and now every Thursday they expect me to read this thing to them, and then we discuss it for a period of time. I heard that, and my heart felt so warm and so good, and you know, it was 11 weeks, but I was ready to go the whole full shot, so I kept it up for, you know, every single week while she was in college. I did not miss a week. So I kind of had a mini deadline, and then after about 100 of those, I'd show them around. I'd keep them like in a big pile in my office, and that pile was getting, you know, 200 pieces of paper, 250 pieces of paper, 300. I had a big pile there, and everybody would say, you ought to turn this into a book. You ought to turn this into a book. You ought to turn this into a book. Yeah, I will someday, 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 someday. Well, about last September, I found somebody to take all of those, organize, and I didn't want to do all the busy work to get them all together. So I found somebody to do that very inexpensively. And then I heard about these, you know, these publishers that do on-demand publishing. So I looked around, and there were a bunch of them, one in my own hometown. And there were some that wanted a bunch of money, and I didn't want to give them a bunch of money because it was already done. I didn't need any guidance at the time. But if you do need guidance, you know, that's a good way to go also. If you need a coach to help you get through it, that's a good thing to do. I might even offer that to some people that would like to know how to write a book. But anyway, I committed to doing that. It took me probably about 3 months. Then I found out about, CreateSpace, which is a company that Amazon owns. And it was actually quite a simple process. I found somebody on guru.com to take my book, my doc file, my Word file, turn it into the proper whatever they needed. And I can't even tell you what they need at CreateSpace. and I had a proof of a book within a couple of weeks. And my second book was easy because I did the first book. So
okay.
I knew the process to go through, and I just zipped it out. And that backdrop manifesto is for my my consulting business. I consult with dry cleaners all over the world, and that was a way to get them involved. Also, it was a shorter book, only like 75 pages, but it was a book. And my third book is like 130 some pages, and so. Now it's simple to me. Now it's easy.
And now it's easy. So when you were first doing your quote lessons, what I'm understanding from you is that you had the motivation of a weekly deadline to get something done and something submitted, even though it was just to your daughter, and initially you didn't even get any response. Is that correct?
That's correct.
You had a self-imposed deadline that you just managed to make yourself meet every single week.
Yeah, you need a deadline to make it happen. If you do not have a deadline, it will not happen. And let me tell you what I do now. I have a mastermind group. I have eight business owners in my mastermind group. All of us make most of our living online, which I do. I generate most of my business from advertising online. That's a whole other interview. But I have this group of guys now, and this very last book I wrote, I set a deadline to have a book in hand by a certain date, or I would pay a $1,000 penalty for our fund at the group.
That's quite motivational. I think all of us would like to not leave money on the table.
You know, and I was going on vacation before the deadline, about a week before the deadline, and my editor, the guy who was editing for me and loading it up, got a job, and at the last minute he said, I can't do it for you.
Uh-oh.
So, now, if I did not have the deadline, I would have said, okay, let me go away for 10 days, and I'll figure it out when I get back. And who knows if it even ever would have got done by now. But because I had that deadline, I had to get it done. I went on Guru, found somebody very quickly, better than the guy that I had, less expensive than the guy that I had, and she cranked it out for me in like 4 days. And within 6 days, I had a proof in my hand. I had it FedExed to me in Florida when I was on vacation, and then I shot a little video on my iPhone as proof of my goal, sent it off to my guys because I wasn't going to be there for that deadline meeting, and that's how I wrote this last third book.
So what you're telling me, Greg, is that when there's a deadline, and there's no excuses about not meeting it.
No, it's like I'm on another deadline right now. I'm like really getting it. You know, and I've known about this for 30 years, okay? And I've had some very successful companies along the way, but I'm really getting into this. When you have a deadline, you just cut through, it cuts through. It's like a hot knife cutting through butter. All the distractions go away. You know you got to get it done. And I've got one now. This was a weight loss deadline. So I threw a personal goal into our business group, another $1,000, and this one is like proof positive. I weighed 248 pounds. I'm only 5'11", so I was a little chubby. And I said I had to get down to 225 by May 13th, which is in a couple of days. And I've already surpassed it. Now I just got to, make sure I do it. So I don't want to embarrass myself, number one. And second, I don't want to pay the $1,000.
Greg, I think that's probably one of the most critical things that I've ever heard and try to teach anybody when it comes to writing a book or actually achieving any kind of a goal, is to make sure that you have some kind of a hard and fast deadline. But not only that, somehow have someone holding you accountable. And I have to admit, though, I believe you are the first person, Greg, to put $1,000 on the table for those kinds of goals.
Well, I'm sure there's somebody else that's done it somewhere. You know, I've got a brother, my brother Mark, who's very, very successful, made millions of dollars in the direct mail, direct response industry, and he doesn't need any outside help. But that's my brother. I need outside help. And by help, I mean I need somebody outside of me to be accountable to, and I need to pay a fine. and the fine and the embarrassment for me makes it happen. So, but out of all of this, the most important thing is, number one, to have a goal and to have a deadline that you're committed to.
Now, with that deadline, let me just take you down to more of the actual writing process. With the deadline, how do you make sure that you actually meet that deadline without somehow procrastinating long enough that by the time you start, you think, there is no possible way I'm going to get that done? Tell me, do you work from the deadline and backwards? What is your approach to the writing process, Greg?
Well, the first thing I do is I write a table of contents. I break the book down into small, bite-sized chunks. So I spend probably a week, an hour a day for a week, and I committed to do something every day, okay? Write something every day on this goal. And I break it down into the table of contents into little tiny segments. I think in this last book I had 110 different segments. I broke it down, 110 little things I wanted to write about, and I figured if I wrote about all of those, I'd have my book done. And then I said, okay, I'm going to write about one of those every single day. It took me less than, because I've been writing for so long now with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to put my thoughts onto paper or onto the digital computer screen fairly rapidly now, and less than an hour a day for 110 days, and I missed a few days in between there. But writing to me is very enjoyable, so it's not like something, oh, geez, I got to write today. I look forward to it. I mean, I like to write. I like what comes out. It surprises me sometimes. So that's kind of my process. And you know, there are different processes out there for different kinds of authors. But breaking it down to small chunks for me is what works for me.
I can absolutely understand that. That is probably one of the easiest ways to help someone approach, to me, a really big goal. I still remember my dad saying, how to eat an elephant, you know, one bite at a time. And it sounds like you took that great big elephant and broke it down into bite-sized portions and were able to create something just by working on it a little bit at a time every day. Now, you mentioned something about the fact that you like to write. You've been writing for a long time. And so I would imagine that you unconsciously have developed what's called the writer's voice. And that means you coming through authentically in your writing. And I noticed that you write in a very down-home, folksy way. You say words like gonna and ain't. And tell me about that. Do people mind that you write in that way, or do you feel that you should be using proper grammar and have somebody go through your manuscript and edit those out? Tell me about how you came about with that type of voice.
Well, back in the late 80s, early 90s, in between businesses, I thought I could be I liked the idea of copywriting, write something that somebody will buy from. And in my study of that, you have to write as if you're sitting across the table from somebody. You've got to get them to know you. Now, if you were sitting across the table with your neighbor, let's say, you're not going to talk in proper English. You're going to talk like you talk. So I thought that, you know, if I write a book that same way, that's going to be like I'm talking directly, and I always write directly to one person. And I find out what my ideal person is that I'm going to write to. It was my daughter with that first book. with this latest book, it was a dry cleaner. I wrote to that dry cleaner. And I can't tell you how many times through my writings a dry cleaner will say to me, man, you know exactly my challenges, what I'm going through, what's happening in my business. You hit it right on the nose. And I always got positive response. Once in a blue moon, I'll get an English teacher or a college professor that will read what I have and send it or email it back to me all corrected. And I just kind of, you know, say, wow, I wonder if they got a book out. I sure do. And my books are making me money. And that's my style. Now, if I was writing to English teachers, I probably would write the same way, but I justify it throughout. You know, this is the way you're going to have to communicate to your students if you want them to learn. This proper English bullshit. Can I say bullshit? This
yes,
proper English
you might have.
Bullshit. Okay. Just doesn't fly, you know, if you want to communicate with another individual. I've also found out that even highly educated people, they don't want to have to look up in a dictionary something they read to continue what they're reading. They want to relax and just go through it and read it. And everything I do, all the sales pieces I write for my my clients and my consulting business that are part of my program are all done in this folksy way, and they sell dry cleaning. I have sold millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of products and services by talking as if I'm talking across the table. So I thought in writing a book to communicate, I'm really selling my concepts. Let's talk that same way. And it works. It works like a charm. And I can't do it any other way because, Kit, in 11th grade, I flunked English.
Well, Greg, I finally passed.
I finally passed, Kit, because somebody stole the test and they passed everybody.
Well, excuse me. All I can say is when I read your book, I was really, really engaged from the very beginning, and I have absolutely no interest in dry cleaning and becoming a dry cleaner, but it was your natural engaging way of your writing narration that just completely captured me. And you actually caused me to want to read from beginning to end a book I had no intention of actually even enjoying. And I have to tell you that the way you write is magic.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. But this is a really important concept for people to understand, is that I believe more than even just writing in that folksy way, etc., I believe it's more Greg Colosi coming through. I believe it's your personality and the real you coming through. And most people really like to work with folks who are authentic. Would you agree with that?
I agree 1,000%. You know, you want to know somebody. You want to know that author. And if that author is true to themselves and write exactly how they feel. You know, I swear in my book, I never say the F word. I was 37 the first time I said the F word, and it doesn't come out easily for me, and I very rarely ever say it. I'm still shocked when people say it around me, so that's not me, so I don't. But you know what? I have seen this work. I know of people that wrote to building contractors to sell services and products to them. And they wrote like a building contractor who throws F-bombs all over the place. And this contractor said, hey, this supplier's just like me. I'm going to do business with him. You know, that's the way they talk on the building site. And he said, gee, he's talking to me like this. And it got through. Now, if you don't throw F-bombs, you know, don't do that. But if that's the audience you're going after, talk in their language. If that's your language, talk in their language.
I couldn't agree with you more, Greg, and especially in terms of what you managed to accomplish, you know, your very first book, you were really building on the experience of having written all of those quotes for your daughter. But then the other two were more directed toward one of the businesses, one of the many businesses that Greg Colosi has started. And I would like to just touch on that a little bit in terms of the niche marketing, and what would you recommend to people who might, you know, think about writing a book about their business but think that no one would be interested in reading it? What do you have to say about that?
First of all, is it niche or niche?
It's actually niche, but you know what? Since we're being folksy, we're going to say niche.
Okay. Niche. That sounds French.
It is a French word.
Oh, it is. Okay. Well, you know what? First of all, I thought nobody online was, dry cleaners were looking for marketing services. Boy, was I wrong. Okay? You know, there's 35,000 dry cleaners on there. Then I thought, you know what? A book to them would do a couple of things. It would help me, in their eyes, become an expert. And people want to do business with experts. Author, no matter what the book is, in that industry becomes the expert, okay? Whether
Absolutely.
I am or not, becoming an expert, you went through the process to take all your thoughts, put them in a book. That says something, okay? It's like somebody going through college. Maybe they didn't learn anything, but they finished and they graduated, and maybe they're off doing something totally unrelated, but the process of doing that says something about the person. So I think subconsciously people look at that and say, wow, he wrote a book. He must be good. He's not a scam artist, okay? He's not out to just get our money. You know, I can buy this book for mind cells on Amazon for $29.95. I priced it higher because it is a niche market, and you can go ahead and do that. But I did it for that, and I thought it would bring me other business. And boy, was I delighted of the business already. That book came out the end of February, so we've got March and April, the beginning of May. I have booked over $28,000 in consulting fees directly related to my book.
And so what you're telling me is that when you write a book for a niche market, you're not writing the book so that you can get rich off the royalties of that book. You're writing the book because of the business that book will bring to you. Is that correct?
Absolutely correct. Even though I got my first Amazon, I got my Kindle. So far I've made like $150 in Kindle royalties. I check my account every once in a while. And then from Amazon on the hard copy, they just deposited a measly $26 in my account. but I got $28,000 from the business that it brought me. And this has only been 2 months, Kit. Two months.
That's over $10,000 a month. That's almost $15,000 a month you can directly attribute to having written that book. And you said you got $26 from the hard copy sales and
yep.
$150 from the Kindle sales. Is that correct?
Yeah, that. Oh, and I sell them directly, too.
How many in the last couple months have you sold directly? What in terms of price?
Total books. I've only sold like 150 books.
Okay.
That's
okay,
it.
Okay, 150 books at $30 a book. Is that right?
Yep.
So about $450. So you've made $450 in royalties from your books in the last 2.5 months, and that's still just a little over $200 a month. That wouldn't do much more than buy, you know, maybe dinner out for, you know, a couple at a nice restaurant, right?
Yep. But actually, it's more than $450. It's $4,500.
I'm sorry, $4,500. Well, even so.
Right.
Okay, $4,500 would make a difference. But $28,000?
I know. But I've been in this market for 3 years, and so I wrote the book and put it out to them. I've got that market. And even if you're starting from scratch, it makes you an expert quick. You know what else? All the publications are picking it up now, and it's PR. It's free PR. When there's a new book out, they write about it. They talk about it. You get calls from people that want to do interviews like this one, and all the dry cleaning places. I've been asked to speak I'm speaking at a conference at the end of September. That'll probably net me about 20 grand just at one conference, and there'll be many, many more to come. And here is something that is very, very important, and that is those 150 people that bought my book bought the proof copy. They did not buy the edited, check it over, make sure I didn't say, I didn't spell words wrong. Now, I left the gunnas and the ain'ts in there, but I did it on a proof copy, okay? I wasn't worried about an English teacher finding it and lambasting me because that's not, I don't care. I just wanted to get it out there. Now, let me share with you. Someone in our mastermind group had a goal the same time I did. He got two proof copies, and he's going over it still, changing it around, changing this, doing that. Meanwhile, I made 28 grand. He made nothing.
So during his analysis paralysis, he is being left way behind, and Greg Colosi is racing toward whatever finish line you're racing toward, and you're pulling thousands and thousands of dollars in behind you. Is that right, Greg?
That's it in a nutshell. And I remind him of it when we get together every 2 weeks. He's one of those perfectionists, and he can't just get over himself. So, and I say this knowing even if he listened to this, he would agree with me because I tell him this in person all the time. and he just kind of can't get by it. And I suspect within 3 or 4 months, his book will be out there and he'll do okay. But I didn't want to wait.
I understand. Did he have to put the $1,000 on the table too?
No, he put the $1,000 on. He got the proof done when he was supposed to, but he didn't have a goal to get it out to his herd or out there after that, which next time he decides to write a book, we're going to do that.
Okay, and so what you're telling me, again, is for each step of the process, Greg, you have to have a tangible goal and a measurable deadline. Is that right?
Yep. Measurable deadline to finish it.
To finish it
means get it out there and start and put your face out there, put that book out there, and start to sell copies.
And it's something else that you said that I really, really wanted to touch on because I think this is incredibly important, is that you really weren't worried if there were, you know, a few errors, a few grammar errors or spelling mistakes. You made that money, those 150 copies, the $4,500, was made on a proof copy that wasn't completely perfect yet. And yet,
yep,
in the eyes of those people, it was still good enough.
It was good enough. I had a dry cleaner email me. This was 4 weeks ago. And he said, I just bought your book. I've been reading it for 2 hours straight. I'm so excited. I'm on page 92. It's like 130-some pages. He goes, I'm going to finish it up, and I want to talk to you next week. Well, within 2 weeks, he invested $17,000 with me.
So that's in addition to the $28,000.
No, that's part of the $28,000.
Oh, okay, so that's part of the $28,000. But even so, one person bringing nearly $20,000 because of that book, because of the way you were able to reach them, again, in a niche market, in a small,
yep,
small area that you've,
yep,
identified of people who do dry cleaning with a route, and you are generating that kind of money because you wrote a book. This is a spectacular example, Greg, of why people who have knowledge shouldn't keep it to themselves, right?
No. Everybody's got knowledge that they can spread and make money off of. Everybody does. Most people, though, just can't get out of their way to know that they do have it, write it down, and start selling it. They're afraid. You know, fear is one of the biggest reasons that somebody doesn't. You just got to get over the fear. Get around some people that are successful. Successful authors would be best, but just successful people that are making things happen and have them help encourage you. Just by hanging around them by osmosis, you will get what they get, and you will start taking some chances. And what have you lost? What have you lost if you wrote a book and nobody bought one, okay? You've had a wonderful experience. You're a published author, and start writing your second book.
Absolutely, because as you say, the one fellow you were talking about wrote 40 books before people actually started noticing, and now they all want his books, and he's on number 50. I love the fact that he didn't. And I love the fact that he didn't stop.
Nope.
He didn't wait for someone else to say, "Oh, that's a great job. You know, you need to write another book," because he believed in himself so much. Now, I want to wrap this up. I don't want to keep you too much longer. But if you had any words of encouragement for someone out there interested in writing a book, what would they be?
You know, before we do that, can I
sorry. Please. Yes, we forgot about the entire process of getting it published.
Process.
Is that correct?
Okay. Yep, that's correct. Let me tell you how much it will cost you with CreateSpace. If you do not want the books at a lower price, I buy mine at $2.40 a piece. I can order one at a time through CreateSpace, which is a company of Amazon, a division of Amazon. It won't cost you a bloody cent. If you can load it in yourself, won't cost you a bloody cent. Now, if you want the lower price, it's called the Something Pro. It was like $36, okay? Still not a lot of money, $36, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get it professionally edited, that will cost you money, but I started without it, okay? I started without having it edited and got it in there. I went to guru.com. It's where you hire freelancers, and I found somebody for less than $100 that loaded it on to CreateSpace for me. She loaded it on to the Kindle for me, and she loaded it up into a place called Smashbooks, which gets it out to the iPhone, the Nook, and any other medium that's out there that takes digital books for less than $100. So I had $136 into the deal to get a book done. That's all I had into it. The rest was sweat equity.
And when you did it that way, do you have to worry about whether or not you ship it out to somebody, or how does that part of it work?
Well, you can go to Amazon right now, everybody. Go put my name in, Greg Colosi, Colosi, and you'll see a couple of books pop up on there, and people buy them from Amazon. There's a Kindle edition. They buy that. I don't have to ship it out. I don't have to do anything. I just check my account every once in a while. And see, I haven't checked it in like 2 weeks. Check it and see how many people bought my book. Okay? Now, I also sell my books myself. I sell it on Amazon for $29, my latest book, The Dry Cleaners, but I sell it myself for $19.95. And I'm able to capture their email address with that, and then I keep selling them, you know, selling them my other products and my other services by having that. And I outsource that. I got somebody that lives down the street. She's a stay-at-home mom, and she does that for me of like a buck. She sends it out. I give her all the postage, all the envelopes. And for a buck a piece, she puts them in the mail from me. So when I get an order, I just forward it over to her email. She sends it out. So I don't touch anything. You know, I'm off to writing my next book. I'm not worried about that. Everything's in place to get it sold. You know, I go after the associations and people call me about booking speeches and all that. I handle all that stuff, but that's all fun. You know, that's all fun stuff.
Right, and those are all the additional bonuses and perks to becoming an author.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And if you can't speak or you don't think you can speak, if somebody's going to give you $5,000 or $10,000, you'll go speak. You'll figure it out.
You will figure it out, won't you? Well, Greg, thank you so very much for your time. I just have one last question. How many more books can the world expect from Greg Colosi?
Well, let's see. I'm 54 years old, and I have committed to 2 books a year for the rest of my life.
Everybody, have you heard this? Greg Colosi is going to write 2 books a year now for the rest of his life. We will certainly be checking up on you, Greg.
Well, thank you, Kit. This was wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate your time. You were very gracious, very entertaining. You're just as entertaining as your book is. So everyone, go out there, and even if you're not in the dry cleaning business, I highly recommend that you go out and check his his latest book, How to Get Route Customers Without Knocking on Doors. And if that might not be up your alley, certainly get his quote lessons, because that would apply to every person in the entire world. Greg, thank you very, very much for your time today.
Thanks, Kate.